There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
At this time, we would like to recognize our honorable guests, Representative Bradley Byrne, Representative Martha Roby, former United States Attorney General Jeff Sessions, former Governor Bob Riley, former Governor Don Siegelman, former Governor Dr. Robert Bentley.
I have no plans to step down. We have done nothing illegal, and we're just going to continue to do our job every day, and that's what we're trying to do.
They sat him and Siegelman next to each other. Okay. We tweeted out that photo op a little bit earlier. All right, 1207 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this inaugural Monday up in a cold Montgomery. They had their gloves on and their scarves on and their speeches on as we have a new bunch of folks that are official in Montgomery and taking oaths of office and giving speeches as well. And over the next couple hours, we'll get you up to date on that. You missed the governor's speech. That was a pretty good speech by Governor Ivey. And we'll roll that speech here in just a little bit. Also, whether it's state auditor or attorney general or lieutenant governor, treasurer, all those things, those folks gave little speeches. Short speeches, not an extended speech like Governor Ivey did, and we'll get you those as well. As it all came together today in Montgomery, actually, they're, I guess, going to have the parade starting right about now. A parade's supposed to be rolling up in Montgomery. I don't think they have. By the way, here's how it is, being somebody from Mobile versus somebody from elsewhere in Alabama. I was like, what parade route is it on? You know, look at there's just one. There's just the one parade route. You know, the rest of the state, in places they have parades, they just have one parade route. We got a little different down here. But that parade route, Dexter Avenue, taking in the majority of Dexter Avenue and making kind of a loop there around the state capitol. I do not know, Dalton, you can keep an eye on social media for me. Still no confirmation whether Clyde and Henrietta, the high-stepping turkeys, will be part of the parade today. Maybe sitting in the motorcade, sitting in the vehicle with the governor, maybe something like that. But no word. I'm not saying that's happening because I don't know that that's happening. We have been inquiring about that and have come up nothing but feathers on it. But we're working on that. All right, so the parade getting ready to start. We'll go back here in just a second and get audio, two parts here. About a 30-minute speech from Governor Ivey. Thought a pretty good speech. We broke it into two pieces. We'll give you that. Plus, coming up, we'll give you some shorter speeches from folks like Jim Ziegler and Steve Marshall and John Merrill and John McMillan, a bunch of folks, Will Ainsworth. We'll get those speeches coming up in just a little bit. And in hour number two, if you missed it this morning, our interview, our talk with Jeff Poor. Now, Jeff with Land Yap and Breitbart, Yellowhammer News, also does a radio show up in North Alabama now. But he had stumbled upon a really cool thing, and I put the story out on Twitter this morning. So he was staying in Camden, doing one of his reports in Camden. He stayed at this place several times, a bed and breakfast there. And the family that owns this bed and breakfast in Camden, I guess one of them, if not both of the couple that owns the place, the wife, I think, went to school at the same time, for sure at the same school. I don't know at the same time, but for sure at the same school as Kay Ivey. And in their library upstairs, where Jeff said, if you're a guest at this bed and breakfast, they say, you know, go up there. And he said, a really cool library, lots of books. You can go read whatever you want. He said he finds the 1963 Wilcox High yearbook. And in the Wilcox High yearbook, they had their, like, senior predictions, you know, where you often they were comical or whatever. You do the, you know, so-and-so will be an astronaut or so-and-so is going to, okay, in there, in that senior prediction, they said the class predicted their idea would be that then Kay Ellen Ivey would be the governor of the state of Alabama. Now, they said it was supposed to happen, I think, in the 1980s at some point. Well, it might be 20 years late, but it did happen. It's a really cool story about how the fellow high schoolers saw her back then, and then, of course, going on to do student government there and in college and obviously work with the state and now ascending to the top gig. Another, what had 2 years of making up the end of Bentley's term, now her own term, 4 years ahead. Governor Kay Ivey takes the pledge today. We'll get to that audio when we get back right here on FM Talk 106.5. It is, yes, if you were wondering, the beginning of the show, that is true. That was Robert Bentley sitting there next to other former governors, and I guess it's he's a former governor, so he gets to sit there. That's the rules as it goes. So Bentley was there. Instead of staying home, staying in T-Town, he showed up in Montgomery today. Didn't seem to distract the governor much. All right, coming right back, we'll get the audio from her speech right here on Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, I wish I could say I was surprised that former Governor Bentley showed up today at the inauguration, but I'd be lying. I wasn't surprised. It's just, come on, man. All right, 1217 FM Talk 106.5. Let's get to it. The speech from Governor Kay Ivey has delivered just about an hour and 15 minutes ago in Montgomery.
And now for the oath of office of governor. Kay Ivey, joined by Dr. Kathy Randall and former Camden Mayor Max Baggett. The oath will be administered by Supreme Court Justice Will Sellers.
If you would raise your right hand. I, Kay Ivey.
I, Kay Ivey.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Alabama.
And the Constitution of the State of Alabama.
So long as I continue a citizen thereof.
So long as I continue a citizen thereof.
And that I will faithfully and honestly.
And that I will faithfully and honestly.
Discharge the duties of office of governor.
Discharge the duties of the office of governor.
Upon which I am about to enter.
Upon which I am about to enter.
To the best of my ability.
To the best of my ability.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Governor. What a wonderful day.
Thank you. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the governor of the state of Alabama, Kay Ivey.
My fellow Alabamians, to those of you who are here and joining us on the beautiful grounds of our state capitol, and to those who across this state are watching, thank you for being a part of today's historic ceremony. Over the to the hundreds and if not thousands of folks who could not be here today, but who have faithfully kept me and my administration at the forefront of your prayers since I was elected, became governor in April of 2017, I thank you. Over this course of 20 months, I truly have felt your prayers and your love. Both have made a difference. And I am grateful for your prayers that you have been so faithful to share. The scripture reminds us in Psalm 118, verse 24, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And indeed, today is a day to rejoice for all of Alabama. And it's also a day to begin writing a new chapter in the narrative of our great state. After all, this is an exciting time later this year because Alabama will celebrate our 200th year of statehood. On this very site, many men and only one other woman have stood right here to be given the ultimate honor of a lifetime, the opportunity to be administered the oath of office after having been duly elected governor of our great state by the people of Alabama. Like most of my predecessors, my pathway to this spot was certainly not predetermined or even likely. In fact, when I was growing up in my hometown of Camden, little girls just simply didn't dream about being elected governor of the great state. Much of my success, if any of that I have enjoyed, is due to my parents, the late Barbara and Nettles Ivy. They taught me the values of hard work and the importance of living within your means. It was their unwavering love, their support and confidence through the years that has provided me the foundation which allows me to stand before you today. And Alabama is a state where dreams do come true. And here in Alabama, anything is possible. It goes without saying, my dear friends, but I am truly honored and humbled to lead this great state. But I have not made this journey alone. To the good people of Alabama, I say thank you. As your governor, I am first and foremost a public servant, accountable to the nearly 5 million people who call Alabama their home. And I work for those who voted for me as well as those who did not. And upon taking the oath of office, I have solemnly promised to uphold the office to which I have been elected with dignity and integrity while working hard to keep Alabama growing. To our men and women in the military, we thank you for your service to our nation that allows us to enjoy the freedoms we cherish so deeply. And I want to thank every Alabamian in uniform, as well as their families who share in their service. And to our veterans, past and present, much like my dad, who served bravely in World War II. We are forever grateful for your sacrifice, for your love of country, and your commitment to freedom. I certainly want to thank the inaugural committee for their efforts to make this historic event possible. And thank you to the committee chairs, Dr. Kathy Randall and Jimmy Rain, my two longtime friends. We thank them for their leadership, not just to this event, but to their communities and to their state. And I also want to recognize and thank my cabinet and staff for their hard work and long hours. With their help, we have steadied the ship of state, put people back to work. And because of their determination, I believe we are well positioned to continue moving Alabama forward to some of our brightest days. And on this Inauguration Day, I want to take a special moment to recognize those in attendance who have previously held the same constitutional offices to which I have been elected to serve. We have former Governors Bentley, Riley, Siegelman, and Folsom are with us today. We are also very honored to have former Lieutenant Governors, Lieutenant Governor Windham and McMillan, as well as Governor Siegelman and Governor Folsom, who also served as Lieutenant Governors. Alabama is certainly better off because of the many years of service of these distinguished leaders. Join me in thanking them. Also on the platform today are our current constitutional officers, Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth, Attorney General Marshall, Auditor Ziegler, Secretary of State John McMerrill, Treasurer McMillan, and Agricultural Commissioner Pate. And also on the platform, we recognize Public Service Commissioners Jeremy Oden and Chip Beaker. The people of Alabama thank all of you for your commitment to public service and your dedication to them. Also joining me on the platform are members of our State Board of Education sworn in today, board members Dr. McCarty, Dr. Richardson, and board member West, as well as Dr. Reynolds, who could not be here today. And I sure look forward to continuing to working closely with you members of the State Board of Education to ensure that all Alabama students have an opportunity for a beneficial education which puts them on a path to success. Additionally, I'd like to thank the Chief Justice and Associate Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court for participating in today's ceremony. And y'all are very special Alabamian. And my longtime friend from Wilcox County is here today. Former United States Senator and former United States Attorney General, the Honorable Jeff Sessions. Jeff, I'm thrilled that you're on stage with me. You know, if you're from Wilcox County, you just never know where you might wind up. It's always good to welcome home and publicly thank Alabama's outstanding congressional delegation led by Senior Senator Richard Shelby and represented today by Congressman Byrne and Congresswoman Roby. Time and time again, Alabama's delegation chooses to put the people of Alabama in our state ahead of partisan interest. So to each of our members of the congressional delegation, we offer our heart thanks for your great service. And speaking of the congressional delegation, my administration has already been hard at work with local and state leaders in all 67 counties to begin the tedious but important task of making sure that we get an accurate head count for the upcoming census. This upcoming census it isn't just about the possibility of losing a seat in Congress. It's much more important than that. It's also about protecting our hardworking taxpayers' federal funding that our taxpayers send to Washington, and they are so faithful to return our fair share. And as this work kicks into high gear, it is all of our responsibility to make certain that every citizen is counted in the 2020 census. That's the only way to make sure that Alabama counts when it matters most.
All right, and we'll get back to the second half of the governor's speech, but talking about something we've talked about so many times on this show, right? And we've talked to the Attorney General about it. We've talked to a lot of folks about this upcoming census and what this could mean. We could lose a congressional seat in the state of Alabama, which is going to be a big deal. Number one, all districts will have to change in size, right? Because you have you'll have the same geography, same citizens, and one fewer congressional district. So you'll have to reapportion. You'll have to grow in size. The AL1 will grow in size. All of them will grow in size, but it will change a lot in the state of Alabama. And the main thing it'll change is the amount of representation we have in Washington. That's why that story's been a big one. Been talking about it for a year or so here on this show. All right, we'll go to the news and come right back, get an update from Dr. Bill on our forecast, and then we'll come back to the second half of Governor Kay Ivey's inaugural speech there in a cold setting there on the Capitol in Montgomery. Parade should be rolling about now. Bets are on whether the high-stepping turkeys are involved in the parade. I have not heard either way. So conceivably, they could be. We just haven't heard they're not. Coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Continuing our coverage here of Inauguration Day in Montgomery and Governor Kay Ivey's inaugural speech here. Here's a second part. Plus, we're going to get commentary from so many of the other state office holders that took their oaths of office today. It's all straight ahead. But now back to part two with Governor Ivey.
I want to extend my profound thanks to the members of the Alabama legislature. And I salute them for their genuine commitment to public service and to the great state of Alabama. With the first session of our legislature in our new quadrennium beginning in just a few weeks, I am truly encouraged by the men and the women who represent us in both the Alabama House of Representatives and in the Alabama State Senate. We have 27 new members in the Alabama House of Representatives, led by Speaker Mac McCutcheon. We also have 12 new senators in the Alabama Senate, led by President Pro Tem Del Marsh. Our two legislative minority leaders are also on the platform with us, Senator Bobby Singleton and Representative Anthony Daniels. Friends, all of our leaders from both parties, all 140 men and women of the Alabama legislature, serve as partners in our quest to keep Alabama working and growing. As governor, one of my proudest accomplishments has been to establish a strong bipartisan relationship with members of the Alabama legislature in both bodies. In order for our state to work together, y'all, we simply must work closely together. And I'm committed to working closely with the members of the Alabama House and the Alabama Senate. And to the members of the legislature, Alabama legislature, you have a real opportunity to make your mark on Alabama history as being one of the most impactful legislatures we've ever had. And I look forward to working closely with each of you as we work together to address our state's most pressing problems. 8 years ago, when I was sworn in as Lieutenant Governor, I used my inaugural remarks to call on the legislature to end proration forever. And I'm proud to say that that call was quickly answered. Today, we budget with a much more balanced and predictable model that has improved the way we fund state government. The good news on this Inauguration Day is that our budgets are strong and our financial health is good. More Alabamians are working today than ever before in our state's history. Our economy continues to grow and prosper. And with our strong start, strong finish, we're making the largest investment ever in education. We are setting high standards for student learning and paying off as we provide our students with the tools they need to grow and to succeed. Ladies and gentlemen, we can all be grateful for this progress. But make no mistake about it, we're not done yet. We have just only begun. We know we cannot rest on our laurels or recent successes. Instead, we must keep reaching for new heights, taking Alabama to the next level so we can continue to compete in the 21st century global economy. The people of Alabama will always be our greatest resource, as well as the fabric that holds our great state together, both in when times are good, as well in the more challenging of times. Alabama's dedicated and skilled workforce has helped ensure that our Made in Alabama brand is excellent, one of excellence and top quality and recognized the world over. And just like you, I am proud to be an Alabamian. Fifty years ago, one of my childhood heroes, Governor Lurleen Wallace, was sworn in as the first woman governor of the state of Alabama and the only second woman in our nation's history. And although she is not with us in person, her spirit, her life, and her legacy still lives. In her memory, I have requested that an empty chair be placed on the platform. We are honored today to have her daughter Peggy, my friend, here with us representing the Wallace family. Peggy, thank you so much. In her inaugural address, Governor Wallace called on the legislature to, among other things, provide greater funding to build and improve our roads. Interestingly, on January 21st, 1919, when Governor Kilby was sworn into office, during the year that we celebrated our centennial, he too called for a commitment to improve roads and bridges. And I am hopeful that 50 or 100 years from now, governors will not have to include requests to improve our infrastructure. We need to improve our infrastructure and work together to make it happen. Today, y'all, I follow in Governor Lurleen Wallace's footsteps in many ways. And I make the same ask to the Alabama legislature. After all, if we want to compete in the 21st century global economy, we must improve our infrastructure and our roads, bridges, and our ports. Improving our infrastructure is more than an investment in roads and bridges. It's an investment in economic development, in public safety, and in local communities. And it's been nearly three decades since we last made any changes to our current funding, and the challenge has grown with the passing of time. Now is the time to increase our investment in infrastructure. Now is the time to solve this problem. And members of the legislature and people of Alabama, we'll only have one chance to do it. It's been almost three decades since we've made any change. We've got to do it now and get it right. Let's face it. The challenges that we confront today did not just arrive on our doorstep. Likewise, they will not go away in weeks or even months. But if we work on them together, Democrats, Republicans, conservatives, liberals, if we work together, then today's challenges can be looked upon as tomorrow's accomplishments. And much like our roads and bridges, our prison system too has been sore and neglected for decades. The poor conditions of our prisons create a risk to public safety and are placing a heavy burden on taxpayers. The status of our correction system is an Alabama problem that must be solved by an Alabama solution, and I plan to do so. We are vitalizing our statewide correction system by replacing costly, at-risk prison facilities. This effort will ensure that Alabama stays committed to statewide prison reform, and we will be announcing details of these plans in the coming days. As we stand in the shadows of our state capitol, if we had some sun, we'd have some shadows. But as we stand here in front of the Capitol and look down historic Dexter Avenue, we must never forget where we've come from, nor how much progress we've made. Thankfully, the Alabama we live in today, the Alabama we love today, has changed with the times, and in most cases, it's been for the better. But we would be less than honest with each other if we did not acknowledge that change has not come easily. Standing here on Dexter, we are reminded of two different chapters in Alabama history, a time when the Civil War raged, and 90 years later, when the Civil Rights Movement was inspired. It's important for all of us to acknowledge our past. After all, it was just down the street at the pulpit where the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King taught us to confront struggles with honesty, courage, and love. And having learned from the past, let us now turn our attention to the future, which is filled with so much hope and so much opportunity. Alabama successfully helped launch the program that took man to the moon and returned him back safely. And today, we continue to build the next generation of rockets that will take men and women to Mars and deep space and return them home safely. You know, it's hard to believe that 25 years ago, we didn't produce a single automobile in Alabama. Today, we are one of the largest automotive producing states in the nation, and soon to be five global automotive companies will be producing here in Alabama. And only 6 years ago, we didn't build not a single airplane in Alabama. Yet today, we are assembling one of the world's best-selling single-aisle aircraft with a major groundbreaking happening later this week. So just as Huntsville is recognized around the globe for its work in space exploration and discovery, I predict that in just a few short years, Mobile will be one of the top four cities in the world where large commercial aircraft are assembled. And we will reach this in less than a decade. Over the next 4 years, we will build upon these advancements, attracting even more world-class companies and creating more good-paying jobs for our people. We will also be challenged with the task of ensuring that our workforce is prepared and equipped, not just for the challenges of today, but for the jobs of tomorrow. And you know, it can be just real easy to focus only on the issues that need immediate attention, like roads and prisons and education. But in reality, as we dig in and begin to address those issues, I'm just very hopeful that we will be inspired to tackle other pressing challenges such as health care, rural economic development, and access to broadband and other important issues. And after all, these challenges can be seen either as opportunities or as challenges. I prefer to look at them as opportunities worthy of a state whose good people are fortunate enough to call Alabama their home. So today, I stand before you filled with optimism and eager with anticipation for the best of what's yet to come. More good-paying jobs, better education, roads that are envy of the nation, but one thing is for sure. We cannot do this alone. The campaign season is over. Elections are behind us. And today, all Alabamians, regardless of party affiliation, have the chance to stand together, united, and continue to help build a brighter future that guarantee that our best days are still in front of us. And y'all, we need everybody to help. We need teachers, farmers, job creators, healthcare providers, law enforcement, and the media. The great composer Johann Sebastian Bach was once asked, "Why do you compose music?" And without hesitation, he said, "For the glory of God and the good of mankind." My hope is that when I leave this office, it can be said that the state is in better shape than when I began. And I, too, will serve for the glory of God and the good of mankind. So with your good help and God's amazing grace, the next 4 years will not only mark the beginning of our third century, but they'll be the foundation of the best years yet to come. May God continue to bless each of you and the great state of Alabama.
Governor Ivey and the inaugural speech, speech laying out a couple different things here. I'd say an aspirational speech, sure. Also laying out infrastructure, prisons, business, schools, giving a shout out to Airbus and Mobile as well. I hear from you on this. We'll get your calls and texts coming up the next few minutes and in the next hour at 343-0106. Coming right back, more Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:55, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. By the way, if you want to go back and listen to the governor's speech again, you can always go back and grab the podcast of this hour when it posts up next hour. Give us a few minutes once it posts up, and then you can grab it from fmtalk1065.com. Just click the link for podcast there. Or better yet, we'd love you to subscribe over at iTunes or Stitcher. Get our podcast through Spotify, TuneIn Radio app. Lots of places to get it. Make sure when you grab one of our podcasts, too, make sure you give us a thumbs up or stars or whatever the rankings are on there. Maybe leave us a great comment. Drop us a line. If you want something more or less in the podcast, you want some more of this, less of that, those kind of things, you can always drop those notes in there as well. Or just grab them one at a time, a la carte style, fmtalk1065.com. All right, a couple things here. When we get back, we will play a few clips from other than Ivy's, OTIs, that were inaugurated today. Some had been there before. Some were brand new. We'll get some of their quick speeches as they were not on the same extended clock as the governor of the state. But what did you think? I thought it was a pretty good speech for the governor. You know, some people have commented they thought the same. Some people thought it was not good. It should have been more in specifics. I don't know. I don't think an inauguration speech is a great time for specifics. The governor laid out ideas that infrastructure, gas tax issue, right? I mean, it's, sure, if you've listened to this radio station, you know that these are the things coming up. But for a lot of people in the state, it may be brand new. But infrastructure and gas taxes, the discussion of prisons, what's going to be done with this looming possibility of a federal receivership of the prisons if we don't get something done. This has been something going on three and a half years or so. Governor addressed that, just brought it up. Says she will unveil plans for prison reform in the next month or so. Also discussion of Keep Alabama Growing, of course, the theme of the speech. And mentioning, of course, Mobile, Airbus, the good news here recently with, you know, more jobs being added on the line here, maybe up to 600 jobs being added on the line. The governor mentioning that, talking about schools and a bunch of things. I mean, usually in an inaugural speech, you don't go out and say, okay, here's in page two, it's going to be X, Y, and Z. I mean, I would love that, but that's really not the flavor of inaugural speeches. We will keep an eye on it. Make sure the governor said very soon this infrastructure plan coming out and also the prison reform coming out. So we will watch that. All right. Coming back, we'll get those clips from some of the OTIs, the other than Ivy's. And also in next hour, a replay of an interview we had with Jeff Poore this morning. Jeff with Landyap and Breitbart, Yellowhammer News, does a radio show up in Huntsville now as well. But he really did a cool story, and it's on our Twitter feed, at FM Talk 106.5, about what KIV's high school friends, what her classmates thought of her back then, because in the yearbook, they had already predicted the governor of the state of Alabama would one day be Kay Ivey. And that story, we'll talk about that with Jeff, and that'll replay at about 1:30 today. All right, coming right back, we'll check the news. President Trump is in New Orleans, down here at our neck of the woods, making remarks to the U.S. Farm Coalition or Agriculture Coalition. He's speaking to them right now. Of course, he's had to clear himself of being an agent of the Russian government as well in the last 24 hours. It's, like always, been busy for Donald Trump. All right, be right back.